Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Welcome to another Sunday night. I'm excited. We've had a really full weekend where we've been, we had a Friday night and a Saturday, and we're having a Sunday. So the good news about that is you get to stay a lot in the presence, and you get to hear what the Lord is saying and what's on his heart prophetically. So let me open in prayer. Father God, I thank you for every single person that is seeing or will see this, and I ask you to bless them in accordance with your word. I ask you to bless them going in and coming out, bless their basket in their storehouse. I ask you to bless the work of their hands, their families, their kids and grandkids, in Jesus' name. So it's been an exciting weekend, and one of the themes that I'm hearing a lot in as I've preached and prayed is that God wants his kids to know that his presence is always with you. You know, we have some ideas in the church that we say, well, we'll worship until he comes, or we'll pray until he comes. But I kind of want to, I feel like God wants us to know that actually he said, lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The idea of that is once you're born again, when you're born again, you become his child, his very own, and you belong to him. And then when you're born again, it says you're born of God or born from above. You have a completely new family. And so you've become, you know, this is so interesting. It says that Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. So we become his little sister or his little brother. Isn't that interesting? Made in him, his image. And so if you're born again, you have been given the seal of the Holy Spirit. You've been given you're a new creation on the inside. Well, the great news about that is that means the Bible says he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. So this is amazing. You've actually become one with God in the spirit. Now, that may be hard to understand with our intellect, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And so when it says you have been seated, or you are seated in heavenly places with Christ, it doesn't mean someday when you're in heaven because you've passed away. It says you are, you have been, you are seated. It's your current position in the spirit. And that might seem odd because your physical body walks around in the earth, you drive around, you go to the store, you come home. But in heaven, your spirit man, you are seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. How about this one? It says, in him we live and move and have our being. There is a sense in the scriptures of a continual being with him, continual belonging to him, a continual state of oneness. There's a very much throughout the scriptures, there's the idea of that once you're his, you're his. And so the good news about that is you may not always be aware of it, but if you're born again, and if you're spirit-filled, if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are in his presence, and his presence is always with you. Here's another one. If two or more of you come together, there I am in the midst. He's in our midst. Not necessarily because we're praying or fasting or worshiping a lot. He's there because we're there. He's there because we're his kids and he loves us and he goes where we go. So you say, well, I don't feel like his presence is with me. And sometimes I come to church and we worship for a while and then I feel his presence. That may be true, but here's the problem. His presence didn't just show up because we worshiped. His presence didn't just show up because we prayed or fasted. His presence was always there. But what happened is, as we come together and as we worship or pray, as we press into him, what happens is our focus shifts. And so one of my jobs when I do praise and worship is to bring people into his presence. His presence was always there. I'm not bringing his presence to them. I'm bringing them into his presence. And so that's sometimes why you play soft music or you give words from the Lord. You're trying to get people to shift their focus away from the things of this world and the problems outside. And you can tell when someone comes into a meeting and they're all harried and they're worried and they're nervous and they've got problems and their mind is on that. It sometimes takes a little doing to get people to put their focus off of their own problems or their kids or whatever and put their focus on the Lord. And so worship, the purpose of worship is because he's worthy. But one of the things that it does is it helps us remember that he's worthy. I've never been a big fan of those whining songs, those songs about how bad things are and my life is so bad, and I've just never been a big fan of that, because and then at the end they always tell all their dreadful stuff, my dog was hit by a car, but Lord, I'll still trust in you. That is a very weak testimony, and it says that you are completely absorbed with the things of this world and your emotional reaction to them, and you're not absorbed with him. And so not trying to put you down, I'm just saying there can be an easier way for all of us. And that is when we become aware that his presence is with us always. Lo, he is with us always, even unto the end of the age. And so it isn't him that changes his position. His position has never changed. You know, he died, he ascended to the Father, he rose from the dead, he ascended to the Father, he took the precious blood of his sacrifice, and he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat. And it was like, it is the most paramount moment in all of history, past, present, and future. It's the biggest thing that ever has happened or will happen in the universe, is when Jesus Christ sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. There was an explosion of God's goodness, his mercy, his healing power, his truth, his wisdom. All the things that the new covenant believers get to have that we didn't get to have before. He said it was a new covenant based on new and better promises, because he was dying to purchase something for those that believe. And so it's just beyond wonderful what he did. But the problem that we have is if we don't understand what he did, if we don't understand how to walk in it, we will forever be led by our feelings. And the honest truth is that most believers are led by their feelings. Well, I don't feel his presence. Well, I feel like I'm separated from God. I feel like he's not with me. Or I feel like maybe he's mad at me because I said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing. And there's this continual monitoring of our emotions, which is just so much garbage. Your emotions have never told you the truth. You know, hardly ever. Emotions will tell you one thing one day and another thing the next day. And they react to circumstances and they lead you around by the nose. And then if you're gullible, you believe that that is some sort of truth. And you base your life upon it. And in fact, it is usually in conflict, in direct conflict with what God has spoken. And so the best thing you can ever do for yourself, and frankly for God, is to take seriously the things he has spoken. Because for one thing, he literally cannot speak something if it isn't true. He is truth. He cannot lie, the Bible says. Cannot. He can't. So if he has said something in his word, it is fact. So, you know, people act like the Bible isn't scientific, but I'll tell you, the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And in Job, it talks about that the Lord sets his feet on the circle of the earth. So thousands and thousands of years ago, Job wrote that the earth was round when people still thought it was flat. So, but if people had believed him, they would have said, oh, the earth is round. I don't care what it looks like. It looks flat. I don't care. Well, that's how we're supposed to do life. You need to turn the dial down on your emotional input and your circumstantial input. You know, some of you, I'm talking to somebody tonight who has a wayward child. Your child actually is an adult, but they're way off course and it looks so bad that your emotions are frayed. And I do understand how difficult this can be to watch someone you love make mistakes that will hurt them. I know that that's very hard. However, your emotions are not the final word on this. And your emotions have been tempted to tell you, I don't think they can ever be saved. I don't think they're ever going to turn. It looks like they've gone too far. You know what? We don't look at that. We look at what God has said. We look at what God has said. Once God has said something, that's it. And what he requires is someone in the earth to take what he said and enforce it in the earth. So it's like, you know, recently I heard this news story, and they were talking about that there's been a law on the books, and I think they said since 1926, but that law is not being enforced. So what good does that law do? None. It has to be enforced. If no one will enforce that law, the only way to get it enforced is either for the police to enforce it or to take it to court and cause it to be enforced. Well, that is exactly what we are here to do. Believers, Christians, followers of Jesus are here to enforce God's rule in the earth. They're here to enforce God's will, his saints, his promises. You say, well, he promised it. I don't see it. So you wait. Well, the fact is, what I've seen, when I used to think I was waiting on God, the fact is, once God and I began to have some conversation, I realized I wasn't waiting on God. He was waiting on me. He was waiting on me to understand the system that he had put in place. And the system that he put in place was he created the world, and he created some people to run it, but Adam blew it. So Adam yielded up his authority to the devil, and the whole mess started. The whole world lies in darkness. The foundations of the earth are out of course, the Bible says. So during those several thousand years, until Jesus was born, we were under the prince of this world, right? Because Adam had handed it off. So God had a plan, as always, so brilliant, so much more brilliant than anything the devil could have come up with. And his plan was, okay, man sold it out, but I've given it to man. So as God, it wouldn't be legal or just for me to just fix it. I have to come as a man into the earth, because the only person with authority in the earth is a man. So Jesus came as a man, lived a perfect life, and what he did by his behavior was he purchased back everything that Adam lost. So when you were born again, you were recreated. You weren't just forgiven, but you were recreated perfectly and without flaw in your spirit man. Not your flesh. Your flesh is still stinky, and so is mine. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So the system is that a person who is born again, their born again spirit, is as though you were in Eden before the fall. Your born again spirit is you before the fall. Now your flesh is the you after the fall. And these two are at war. That's what Paul was talking about in Romans. There's a war on, right? He said, oh, wretched man that I am, right? The thing I do, I don't want to do. The thing I don't want to do, that's what I do. Who will rescue me, right? So what he was talking about was that in him, there were these two sort of entities. And if you can understand this, you'll have great victory. Because the two entities are, we have the treasure, and we have an earthen vessel. We have this treasure and an earthen vessel. And the treasure is your born-again spirit, which we might call the you that would have lived in Eden before the fall. And that you is made in the image of Jesus Christ. And so, without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, right? So, it's an amazing thing what God did. And so, and this is why the Bible says he is able to make you stand faultless before the throne. Well, all of us have faults. So how can he do it? Because our born-again spirit was recreated pure, holy, just, in the image of Jesus. And so what God is trying to do is bring us to a place where we understand a little bit more about who we are on the inside. Not just our identity, but our relationship with heaven, our relationship with the Father. You see, your earth suit, your body, your physical body, let's say you're a teacher. You have obligations to get up, get ready, if your school is open in the fall. You go to the school, you prepare all your stuff, you teach all day. If you work in an office like I did, you would drive to office. That's what your earth suit has to do. You have obligations, or raise your kids, or write your book, or whatever you're doing in the earth. And we're so used to the way that the earth operates, because that's all we've ever known, right? From the day the doctor spanked your behind and you said, wah, all your input has been earthly. You know, they taught you how to speak, how to hold your fork, how to walk, how to talk. Everything has been earth. But when you get born again, which for some people doesn't happen until they're 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. Edgar wasn't born again until he was, I think, 55. So here you have a man who's already had an army career. He had been a policeman. He had run a camera shop. And now suddenly he's born again. But in the spirit, he was a baby. He knew nothing. Because now you're dealing with a different realm. And so you're born again spirit. That's what communes with the Father. So you're hearing prophetically. That happens inside. It doesn't happen with these ears. It happens in your born again spirit with your spiritual ears. When you see, you're seeing with your spiritual eyes of your born again spirit. And so the problem is most people are so undeveloped or underdeveloped in their spirit. Their spirit man is not developed. So you get a guy, for example, who goes to the gym every day and he works out and he's, you know, really, really in shape and strong and got muscles in the natural. But in the spirit, he might be like all flab, no guts, no glory, no presence, no prayer life, no strength at all. He might be a real wimp. And then you have somebody else, you know, hallelujah, might not be in great shape physically, but if you see him in the realm of the spirit, they're really developed, right? Their hearing is developed. Their seeing is developed. Their operations in the spirit are very well developed. It's a completely different realm. So the rules are different. The way you operate in it is different. And it has to be learned just like a child who learns how to speak from the parents. They learn one word at a time. You know, they don't just stand up and run. They stand up and fall down on their little butt. And then they stand up and fall down on their little butt. They stand up and fall down. And then pretty soon they might take a step or two before they fall down. And they learn because they're coming used to a new realm. See, when they were in their mother's womb, that was a completely different realm, wasn't it? They were fed the nutrients from the mom. Well, now they're out and they're a baby and somebody whacks them one and they cry and somebody feeds them either with a bottle or from the mom. But the kid has to learn this completely new realm. Do you ever see a baby that's just starting to focus and they're just looking around at everything? Or a little kid. I love watching kids. I love kids. And I love the innocence. They stare. They'll stare at you because they haven't learned that that's not polite. And they'll just stare at you. And it's not, they're not being rude. They're just curious. And it's because everything is so new to them. You know, the whole realm of the earth is so new to them. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? That when you're born again, the entire realm of heaven is a complete mystery to you. And you can't exactly interact with it in your flesh because your flesh doesn't know how. And so the only way is through relationship with the Father. And so the Father wants to develop you in relationship until you are able to learn how to be mentored by His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit was put here on the earth. See, Jesus, He went back to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. So the Father's on a throne in heaven. Jesus Christ is seated at His right hand, but He released the Holy Spirit into the earth, and the Holy Spirit is still here. You know why He's here? He's here for you and for me. He's here to mentor us. He's here to teach us. He's here to help me. I can't preach. I don't have the ability, but He helps me by helping me have ideas and thoughts, sentence structures. He helps me to speak in a way that might help someone because He knows what you need. I don't know what you need. And even if I knew what you needed, I wouldn't have the ability to say it or remember it or put it together. But the Holy Spirit will do it. See, or when I've got a problem, let's say I have a difficult problem, a complex problem, I can go to the Holy Spirit and say, this is beyond me. Would you help me? And the way that he speaks, it might not be in words. It might be just, ding, an idea. And, oh, wait, that'll work. And quite often, we don't even know it, but the Holy Spirit did just speak to us the solution. And it just comes as a thought. And we don't even sometimes know it was him, but it was him. And so you can actually develop a relationship with him. And for me, before I knew that, I did have a close relationship with my Father in heaven. I love the Father. I love Jesus. But I didn't really understand the Holy Spirit. I got filled with the Spirit. I got my, you know, prayer language and all that stuff. And I had some of the gifts flowing. I could operate in word of knowledge. I had some of the gifts of the Spirit. But I did not know about the Holy Spirit himself. I really didn't. And yet I was operating in the gifts. And so I was at a very difficult time in my life, and really a crisis, a point of real crisis. And I read a book, and it talked about relationship with the Holy Spirit, getting to know him. And it dawned on me that through all the dark years, when God would give me a scripture or a promise or something that would get me through each day, he would get me through every day. When I read this book, I realized, oh my God, it was you, Holy Spirit. It wasn't just that the Father was talking. It wasn't just that God is talking. It was that the Holy Spirit has been hovering over me all this time. He's been coaching me and helping me without ever a thought for himself. That's the Holy Ghost. He's ever pointing the way to Jesus, and he's ever helping God's kids find their way. And he never looks for the credit or the glory, because he doesn't care about that. But he lives with us all the time. If you're a believer and you're born again, the Holy Spirit is always waiting to help you and show you and guide you when you don't know what to do. You know what? Most of us, the problem is we think we do know what to do, so we don't ask. And so once I figured this out, I was immediately in love with the Holy Spirit, because he had saved my life. I just didn't know it was him. And I began to be just smitten with the Holy Spirit. And I began to ask him questions and talk to him and fellowship with him and hang out with him just day and night. I was amazed. For one thing, if you had a person like him, you would have a person that knows everything about everything. Everything. Science. You need to split an atom? I know who can help you. You need to recreate an eyeball? I know who can help you. You need to write a book? I know who can write it through you. He knows everything about everything, and he knows, this is what the most amazing part is, he knows how to come to my level when I don't get it, or maybe he's explained it one way and I just don't get it, I don't have revelation. I can go back 50 times, 100 times, he never gets mad, he never gets impatient. Never says, I told you that 50 times. I go back again. I say, I'm struggling with this concept. Can you help me understand it? And he'll come to my level and maybe give me a word picture or explain it in a way. Or maybe he'll put scripture with scripture. I mean, you don't know anybody like him. He's amazing. He knows the entire Word of God. He wrote it. He inspired. You know, behind the Word of God, behind the Scriptures, there's levels and levels and levels of revelation. So you can have a Scripture memorized and get one level of revelation about it, and then 5 years later, just this whole other level opens up. But the Holy Spirit, he knows them all. He knows them all. And he is here to mentor us, but he can only mentor us to the point where we are willing and actually proactively seeking him, because he won't foist himself on people. Did you ever have somebody that you felt like they didn't really want to be with you? They didn't dislike it, but they didn't really care one way or the other. You kind of feel like, well, I'm not gonna go out of my way for them. They don't really care that much about me. Well, the Holy Spirit, he wants to mentor all, he loves us all, and he wants to mentor all of us. And again, he always points the way to Jesus Christ. And he always points the way to truth. And you can trust him with your life. But one thing about the Holy Spirit is, if you're kind of ambivalent, meaning you don't really care that much, or you don't really seek his opinion, he's not going to foist it on you. Have you ever been in a conversation where you knew what would help the people, but they didn't seem to want your opinion, or they didn't think you were smart enough to have an opinion, so they didn't really ask? And for, I don't know about you, but my personality type is, I'm like, whatever, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'll sit there, especially if it's a group, I'll sit there, you know, unless I'm actually preaching. I'll actually just sit there quietly and go, whatever, and let them bumble through it because they didn't ask my opinion. Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit is like that. It behooves you to ask Him, what do you think about this? Is there a way I can reach my son or daughter? Is there something I can do? And quite often it's the opposite of what we would do in our flesh, seriously. So we need His opinion, and in my opinion, we need it on everything. Everything that I do, I have to have help with. And see, I could do it. I'm, you know, reasonably smart person, at least that's what they told me in school. But what I found was when I try to do it myself, it never comes out as good as when I let the Holy Spirit rule. But He won't do it for me. He wants to do it with me, and He wants to do it through me. So a simple example, I was never a good cook. When I was a little kid, this was kind of foolish on my part, but my mom was a homemaker, and my dad worked in the corporate world. And I had heard my older sister say something like, you know, when somebody, I was a little kid, and somebody said, what do you want to be when you grow up? I wanted to be like my mom. And she's like, no, you want to have a career. You don't want to be a homemaker, or said something like that. So I got it in my head. Well, I don't want to be a homemaker. And I got a foolish, I actually think it was a spirit, but I got this foolish idea. I don't want to cook. I would bake, but I didn't want to cook. I didn't want to learn about cooking. I didn't want anything to do with that. I wanted a career. Well, big deal. So as a result, I never learned to cook. And, you know, you can put a cookbook in front of me, forget it. And so that's pretty foolish, because when you hit 18, guess what? You're probably going to live alone or in a dorm room. You're going to have to come up with something, and you have to eat it. And mom isn't going to cook it for you. And so when I was faced with having to cook, I couldn't do it. I couldn't even make good coffee, and I like good coffee. I couldn't do any of that stuff. But I learned how to be friends with the Holy Spirit. And so I had to ask Him to teach me how to make coffee, how to bake stuff, how to cook stuff. And what I discovered is He would just tell me. He would just tell me. He would tell me when the thing is done. Okay, it's done. You know, the thing didn't ding yet. That's okay, it's done. Okay. You know, and He's always right. He's always right. And that's called a relationship. See, I think people think He only wants to help us with the great big stuff, but, you know, He loves relationship. He loves relationship, which is kicking around together and talking over the things of your heart and His heart. You know, the Holy Spirit cares very deeply about a lot of things. Did you ever ask Him His heart on the matter? How does He feel about what's going on? How does He feel about certain situations? So, excuse me, I feel like I need to sneeze. So the point is, it's a relationship. He's your mentor. And what I feel like God wants you to know today is that the presence is always with you if you're born again. But you may not know it, and you may be listening to your emotions or even the devil who says God is not with you. But the presence of God, it doesn't come and go. It's us that comes and goes. And if we can learn how to continually remain in His presence, then it is with us always. And we can operate out of it always. And we have a continual and constant awareness that God is with us. When I wake up at 2 in the morning, God is with me. If I wake up at 5 in the morning, God is with me. If I'm driving down the road wondering about something, God is with me. And it's not that He likes me any better or He's more with me than He's with you, because that's absolutely not true. He's with all His kids, all of them, all the time. He loves His children. But the difference is that over the years I developed an awareness and a relationship where I live out of that presence. And I get my wisdom from that presence. I get my answers from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance all things whatsoever He has spoken to us. What has He spoken to us? The Word of God. So put the Scriptures in. Put the Scriptures in. Put the Scriptures in. And then quite often when the Holy Spirit speaks, a Scripture will just bubble up. A Scripture will just poof, and you just go, oh, I know what to do. And it was the Holy Spirit that quickened it or raised it or caused the scripture to come alive. And that's God talking to you. So don't tell me God doesn't talk to you. He does. You just don't recognize it, okay?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.